Okay, Larry. Well, you're right. The hobby is wonderful for meeting people, but it's also a whole lot of fun in sharing what little knowledge you have or what an abundance of knowledge you have. I don't have a whole lot, but I like to share what I got if it can help somebody else out. But it's like a family more so than a community, I guess, but maybe it's a community. Because there's all sorts of folks out there that are in the hobby, and I'm glad that they are, because that's what makes it so much fun. You and Donna have a great evening, what's left of it. Get you some good rest. Enjoy talking with you, as always, and look forward to doing it again sometime. But y'all take care and have a great evening. Enjoyed it there, Larry. We'll do it again. 73, my friend. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
DOS, please check in. Kilo 4, Golf Sierra Charlie, K4GSC. Patrick Marietta, I'll be negative.
Larry, check KB0KBJ.
Yeah, I got you, Steve. Be right back to you. Never like to say good evening. K4GSC, Mr. Patrick up there in Marietta. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Patrick. Hope you're doing well. KB0KBJ, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it short, but I agree with what Larry said about giving back and to the hobby and the folks who would be in it. I remember three people, two of them I don't know, I can't remember them, I don't know if I ever knew them, but one was Tommy, WB4UUQ, him and his gravelly voice, and it's just something about it, he was willing to talk about anything, and I just got to listening to him, you know, and you, whoever else was on the net. And another was a fella I was trying to transmit. This was probably before I got to talk with Tommy, but I was trying to transmit from inside of a metal storage unit that had an apartment in it. And I couldn't figure out why I didn't understand why I couldn't get out. I'm doing it on a handheld, you know. I'm trying to check in. Rusty says, "You're scratchy." And I'm like, okay, whatever. And finally, some guy traveling by on the interstate, I think it was, he understood that I didn't know anything. And he said, you got a piece of coax? I'm like, I got one of them. Take and split the center from the shield 19 1/4 inches. Take it apart and hang that out your window and hook that up to your radio. I said, I think I can do that, I said to myself. So I did it, and wow. All of a sudden, everybody could hear me. So that was pretty good. Then another fella, I went down to his place, and he made me up a J-pole antenna, and that even improved it better, you know. So, those three folks have come to mind in particular as being real helpful in getting me going in this hobby. Another thing that comes to mind, you mentioned in 2004 you got into it. I just realized I'd moved down there in 03, but I probably didn't start getting into it. That was probably spring of 03, I think. But I didn't start checking in until probably sometime later and listening in and whatnot on the repeater here. And I know Dave said when he heard me chatting, that's DJW Dave, he said for whatever reason, he decided he was interested in getting his license finally and getting going. So I think we all started about, really, I had my license a lot before, but wasn't active. I think what I'm saying is we all kind of seem to get active about the same time.
Tommy WB4UUQ. He's silent key now, and Then you got others that have gone on before us, N4RQM, Old Chicken Tractor Jim, James, KG4MUL, down there in Lawrence. I tell you, he had a station down there. He was on a hot spot as far as RF goes, because he could pick up anything and everything anywhere he was at. But, yeah, there's been a whole lot of good ones, and, people have helped me out a lot, and I've tried to help a few people. I don't know, I might have confused them more than I helped them, but I'm still going to try if I can. that's what we do. But, you brought back some memories when you started talking about a couple of the older ones. I'll tell you one that I really miss, and he didn't get on the net talk much, but he talked a lot during the day. OK4CBG, do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, I remember Ayers. Yeah, I remember him. I used to hang out with him quite a bit. He was good company, good fellow, that guy. Yeah, I remember Jim there. And, was it KG4MUL? Was it that call? Was that his call, MUL's call, KG?
Yeah, it was KG4MUL, that's old James down there in Lawrence.
Yeah, he always sounded the same as everybody does, but KG4MU, and just this solid, no variation in his delivery of his call sign. Yeah, I remember old Ayers there, and Jim, he was good. I like Jim. I recorded Jim. I recorded stuff on my computer sometimes. I got some recordings of Jim. Jim had some of the best stories. I remember him telling about one time he was hot. No AC, hot. So he slid the window up, and he had his head hanging out the window of the house. He was laying there with his head on the windowsill. And his wife got up, and she was cold, and she slammed the window down on his neck.
I remember that one. I tell you that. I used to enjoy some of the stories that he used to tell. He could come up with some doozies. And, of course, I had never heard of a chicken tractor until he got to explaining that one night. And I told Joy, I said, you know, with our chickens, I think we'll build us one.
I've done that with my chickens since then. I'm sure I got the idea off him. Yeah, chicken tractor, it's good. Good for the lawn, good for the chickens. Yeah, and I remember Ayers, too. Ayers and Gene. They were arguing on the air one time. Ayers was tired of it being cloudy. Cloudy. You remember how he'd always ask Ray when spring was? How many days till spring? And Ray would tell him. And Gene said, the sun's out. Well, it wasn't out. And there was he, I'm sure he was looking out the window. Well, what Gene was getting around was like, yeah, the sun's above the clouds. And he finally told Ayers that, and Ayers was like, whatever, you know. So, yeah. K4CBG Ayers.
But, you know, Steve, there's a lot of folks think that we police the frequencies pretty much, but they didn't have any policemen like old W before ZBZ was. You said something wrong, old Gene. He'd get you in a heartbeat.
Yeah, he didn't. I was a little nervous talking with that guy. I didn't talk to him too much.
Well, I talked to him quite a bit. He was good friends with my brother-in-law, KD4JDW, George Earl. That was my brother-in-law, and he and Gene were good close friends. And I got to talking to Gene after that, but he was a card boy. I tell you what, I go to work in the morning sometime real early, you know, like 5 o'clock, 5:30. Gene would be up talking to the people, and we had a running thing about him calling the Good Morning Net, you know, because he talked to all the fellows that were going to work that time of the morning. But then around about 8 o'clock, he'd get sleepy, and he'd sit on his microphone, and I finally figured out who was doing it, so when he did it, I'd pick up the phone and call him, and I said, Gene, wake up, you're sitting on your microphone again.
Yeah, I one time was messing on my radio, and I turned on the box, but this is while the net was going on. I turned on the box and forgot it on. And I had a cold, so when it came time for my turn to check in, my group to check in, I checked in at dawn, and he used to do the swap net, you know, and he'd get the book out. He said it sounded like it was underneath his desk every day, every time he held it, because he had to bend over and grab it, and it was heavy for my size. It was, you know, at least 8 inches thick. Sounded like. But anyhow, I checked in with Don, unkeyed, forgot the box was on, and went to hack on the air. And I finally quit, and Don, he comes back and says I might want to take some medicine or something like that for me. Hey, we can't forget about Dwight, KD4USA. Up there, JCNC, last man on the plantation, the last slave on the plantation. I wonder what ever happened to that guy.
Steve, it's been a while since I've talked to him. I called him on the phone. This is KI4DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, if anybody cares. I called him up on the phone. I got to pat him on my mind real bad, you know, and I said, I'm going to call him. So I called him, and he answered the phone, and I asked him where he had been, and he said, well, you know, the bulldozer that was across the river down there on the other mountaintop, he said, I used to bounce my signal off of it to get into the repeater. He said, well, they moved the bulldozer. He said, I can't get into the repeater. And I said, okay. I said, well, what else you been doing? He said, oh, I got me a girlfriend over in the Philippines. And he said, I've been flying over there, and she's coming over here, and he said, I'm trying to get her over here to live on the mountain top with me, but he said, I don't know if I'm going to have any luck. He said, I may have to go to the Philippines and live with her and her mom and daddy.
Yeah, that's what he told me, too. He sent me a picture of her, picture of his little Mazda sports car, too. And, I ain't heard nothing more of them. I tried Googling somehow or figuring out what, and I did see a picture of her with him sitting in the background. I don't know where it was taken, but I won't say this on the air. I guess I'll have to tell you in person. But yeah, that's the last info I got on him, too.
Curiosity up. I'm going to have to look in my contact list and punch his number and see if he'll answer. He might not. If he don't, will. But at least I will have tried.
Well, I know his house contact number is no longer. It's been disconnected for a while, so I don't think he's up there on the plantation anymore.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. His daughter had been trying to get him to sell that place up there for a lot of years. You know, she was the last time I talked to him, his daughter was out in Las Vegas, I think. She did electrical lighting, you know, she was a big, I don't know what you call those people that do those for the shows and all of that stuff, but she did, that's the kind of work she did. And she was trying to get him to sell that place up there on the mountain, and I don't know if he ever sold it or, but I just don't know. You know, I hadn't been up there. You know, you go up there, there's a he's got a goat on a rock up there, so you know you can't miss the place. The goat's always there on that rock.
Yeah. I remember him. He's talking about his orchard and his field and how an airplane came flying down through the valley and zip and whatnot, you know. And when I finally did get it okay to go up and visit him, I was like, wow, this thing is more vertical than horizontal, this area. And this stuff ain't big. You know, I'm gauging everything by South Dakota standards, you know. So it was a little small on my scale. Because I had fields are in 160 acres. Yeah, at least. But anyhow. So yeah, I think he told me when he had diverticulitis, he was all cared for in the hospital. He said he got to realizing how he missed the company of a woman through just being in the nurse's care. And so I think that's when he started hunting. And he found that girl in the Philippines, and she may have been digging for gold, but, you know, he probably didn't care if she was either, as long as he kept her company, or she kept him company.
Well, you're probably right there. Well, I don't know. He was a good fellow. I really enjoyed visiting with him. Did you ever go up to his house and see his cannon sitting in his living room?
No, I'm sure I did. I went up there a couple times in a single. I think I may have even brought my wife up there once. Well, yeah. I was up there two or three times.
He was showing me, you know, he met us outside, and he said, well, I don't normally let any, you know, the first time I meet somebody come in and look around, he said, but I'm going to let y'all on. Me and Anthony went up there, and he carried us in and showed his machine shop, and all the, you know, if he was off the grid, you know, he had that, everything in his house was 12 volt, and he had all those great big batteries in their own room with the chargers and all of that. And the wind generators and the solar panels and all that. And then we went upstairs and he was showing me that cannon. He said, well, let's just roll it out here on the deck. He rolled it outside and loaded it and fired that cannon out there across the, you know, from where he lived, across to the other side of where that rock face was. And I tell you what, it made a racket throughout the whole canyon down in there. I told him, I said, I hope you don't do this often.
Well, you didn't do that for me, but that sure would have been fun to see, you know. For sure. That's cool. Yeah, I imagine if you was living up there where he was, you'd see a whole lot more stars at night, being away from all those lights of Greenville, tucked down in a gully like that, like being at the bottom of a well, you know.
Matter of fact, the GPS showed us in the river. We were on the road, of course, but the GPS showed us a little off the road down in the river as we were going over there. So I don't know if the GPS was off that bad or if the terrain caused it to not track properly.
Yeah, I'm betting it probably couldn't get a lock on but a few satellites because those hills are so steep around there. Didn't have but a few to work with. That's why you're cruising down the river.
KI-4 DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, that's true. You know, but I enjoyed the trip and enjoyed the visit. And, like I said, there's a lot of them that it used to be on here that we don't hear anymore. And a lot of them have gone on before us, you know. They're silent keys now, but there's a bunch of them that we don't hear as much anymore. We don't know what's going on, and I'm the world's worst about not picking up the phone and calling when I get to thinking about somebody. But you done got my brain working on Dwight, so I'm going to have to I've got a couple of different numbers for him here. The last one I got, it was a sale number. I don't know if it's been cut off or not. But I'm gonna try to buzz it tomorrow and find out if he's still around here. If I can, I probably won't be able to find out anything. It's probably been turned off.
Yeah, well, if you do get a hold of him, say hi to him from me also. Yeah, sure do that. All righty. Well, best let you get going. Getting on the wee hours, ain't it? Boy, you'd be holding one of them nets like Dave did one night. Of course, you've held them about as long before, too, but I think the longest has been 12:30 in the morning. Dave finally said he had to cut it off. That was a 3.5-hour net. Have a good night, Dwight, or Gary, KB, KF4DOS, KB0KBJ.
Dave, again, tell Megan we said hello. Hope y'all are doing well. And if I get in touch with Dwight, I will definitely tell him you said hello. And we'll go from there. Anyway, y'all take care, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. Enjoy it. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Missed anyone for comments, or is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. Folks, give me just a second, and I'll submit my net report. Folks, had a grand total of 69 tonight. I appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Those that stayed around and listened to the rag shoe, we enjoyed that. I had a lot of fun tonight. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, should be calling and give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.